We'll do the readings, and then we'll do your song.
Good morning. Readings for this morning, or the first reading for this morning, can be found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Second reading can also be found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years and then he died. And the last reading is found in John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This ends the readings.
If you'll take a step back on the in the bulletin, the special music, we're going to have the group sing that for, kind of sing it over you now, so just allow them to do that.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began, Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when truth was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. We're free, free, forever we're free. Come join in the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Yes, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join in the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. My life begins with you. It's your forever we're free. Join in the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Come on down, Connie. All of you know her from a long time ago. A few of you know her when she was about this big. And Connie Hansen works with Eyewitness for Life, and we've asked her to come share a little bit about her ministry and give you a little insight to that. And please turn the floor over to you there, kiddo.
And the video is going to do a better job than what I can. But just to give you a little background, this is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. We've had legal abortion in our country for 45 years, my whole lifetime. And a lot of babies have lost their life. A lot of mothers have been traumatized and suffer even now from decisions that they made or sometimes were made for them. Eyewitness has been around now for 25 years, providing free ultrasounds to women who are considering abortion or are being pressured to have an abortion or have maybe had one in the past. And so our clinic is there to meet people's needs. And we take whatever situation someone's in and do our best to be loving and kind and to hold out hope. So I just want to also just share this verse. We used it as a fundraiser verse a few years ago because it was just so perfect. And you know how you can read things and it just, I don't know, you read stuff over scripture and then see it again and it's like, oh, I must have read that before. I'm sure I've read that chapter in Proverbs. But Proverbs 14:25 says, a truthful witness saves lives. And so eyewitness for life, truthful witness, our lives being bearing witness and testimony to God working in our own lives. And so just as an encouragement to you all as pro-life people, to let your witness be truthful. And you don't know where you're going to, what situations God's going to put in your life. We had a gal tell her story. Someone who became a client of ours found herself in an unexpected pregnancy. And her boss was like, who's not, like she said, he's just not like a emotional, intuitive kind of person. He's like a man's man. And he's like, what's wrong with you, Katie? Like, what's going on today? And she just kind of broke down and told him, like, I'm pregnant. I don't know what to do. And he didn't really have to say much, but he gave her our phone number for Eyewitness. And she came in. She had an ultrasound. She was being highly pressured by her boyfriend to have an abortion. He offered to pay for it. He proposed to her, said if she would just have an abortion, they could get married. He had a ring and everything. I mean, there was, like, major pressure on her. But when she saw her baby, it changed her mind. But this guy had our phone number. And he didn't have to, like, solve her problem. He didn't have to, like, you know, get all girly and sit down and pat her back and cry with her, even though that might have worked. It might have been helpful. He was a truthful witness. So I'd like to share Amanda's story with you, and then maybe I'll just say a couple other things about her. But just wanted to just encourage you guys, whether you're involved with Eyewitness or something else pro-life, your day-to-day life just shows a love for God in how you treat people and just being open to whatever God puts in your path. So, I think it should be the next slide. One more slide, and then it'll go.
It's actually a funny story how I met Zoe's dad. He pretended to be one of his friends on the social media called MySpace. And I just kind of hit it off that way. He just proposed to me 2 months prior before finding out I was pregnant. And we were rocky. We argued a lot. What scared me the most was not knowing if me and my fiance were going to be together, and I didn't want to raise the baby alone. I knew they usually give you an ultrasound before an abortion because my friend went through it when she was a lot younger. She was like 14. If you didn't see the baby, abortion obviously would be a lot easier because you're not understanding, you're not seeing what's happening. You're just going there, done. You can go on with your day. But then when I found out you see the baby, your emotions grow. After the ultrasound, they gave me pictures. They brought out this big thing of hats that people make homemade, and you get to pick for your baby which one you want. And I also got a DVD of the entire ultrasound. Eyewitness gave me options for if I kept the baby. They gave me all positive information and views on if I chose adoption for my baby. They called, I want to say, 2 weeks after my ultrasound and asked me how I was and how everything was going. If I needed them, they showed they were there. The ultrasound affected my decision on whether or not to go through the pregnancy or not because it hit me. Like, there's something living inside of me. I brought two of my friends to Eyewitness for Life. First friend I brought, she's the one that actually went through the abortion years ago. And when she found out she was pregnant again, she was scared. I wanted her to see it and I wanted to be there with her. And I wanted to bring around positive people to show her that there's no judgment. They're not there to scare you or pressure you into making any decision you don't want to, that they're there just to be there for you. After we left there, she was more excited. And I think she was probably more excited because she got the chance to do what she knows was right the whole time, that she wishes she never did in the past. What I would say to people who are willing to help and give to Eyewitness for Life is I would encourage them to because it doesn't just change their lives of helping, it changes everybody's. It changes my life, other people's lives. It changes my daughter's life. It gave her a life. My fiance is no longer on this earth with us. And with Eyewitness for Life, I not only have my daughter that we created together, but I also have a piece of him that I'll never get back.
Can I give you a hug?
Yeah.
Oh, Amanda.
Oh, gosh, girl. I don't even know what that was like.
So not only do I thank Eyewitness for Life for encouraging me to keep her, but I encourage people because you never know what you can lose. And knowing that I have my daughter, that it gives me not only her, but also gives me a piece of him, is something I'll hold on to forever.
Really great job of showing how Amanda brought a friend to Eyewitness, and I shared in the Bible study hour, she's now brought 4 friends for ultrasounds to our clinic. Katie, who I mentioned with the boss that gave her our number, she has brought a friend and said, no, don't go to Planned Parenthood. Don't go there. Go to Eyewitness. You know, our clients certainly do a great job of they're our best witnesses for what we do and the impact that an ultrasound can have. But I just encourage you guys to be armed yourself so that when situations present themselves in your life, that you know what resources are there for people and that you can just hold out that hope and that forgiveness and love. So.
Thank you so much, Connie. I'd like to invite the kids to come down if they would. Come on down. I need some babysitters today. Who's willing to hold the baby real nice? Real nice? Okay. There you go. There. And I have another one. This one's even littler. Who hold real nice? You got to hold real nice? Okay, you sure? I'll come back there. I got one more. Real nice. Here you go. Very gentle. Very gentle. Don't drop it. Tuck it in under your arm like Mom does to you. I have another one who's a little smaller. Would you hold this one gently? Okay. There you go. Tuck. No, no, hold it nice. Tuck it in. Run with me on this. No, no, I know that. You got to be an old daddy, not a young daddy. Gentle, gentle, gentle. We'll get there. And I have one more. A very tiny one. Wait, no, 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 no. Gentle, don't squeeze it. There we go. You want me to give this one away? All right, then hold him nice. Wait, hold it. Right like that. Wait, wait. Now look at me. Hold your babies nice. I want you to learn something really important today. You didn't hold him good enough. I can't let you hold him. Yeah, that you got to learn how to hold him real careful. Will you hold him careful for me? Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll get to do that again. I want you to know something. Inside of little girls and women is a place that God made just for babies to grow. And did you know when you started out, you were smaller than the littlest baby that I gave out today? And inside that very special place, you grew and you grew until you got to be that big. And you grew a little bit more, and then you got to be that big. And you grew a little more, and you got to be that big. And finally you grew about that, and you still weren't done growing. Because you grew a little more, and then we had what we call you were born. And when you come out of that very special place, you're this very, very tiny baby that mummies and daddies get to take care of and hold and love. Now, the saddest part in our story today is that sometimes, for different reasons, sometimes those little babies don't get to be finished. And that's what we're talking about today in the sermon. Sometimes people will go in and hurt those little ones, very, very small. That's called abortion. And it's a big word, and it's so sad. And one says, I don't even want to tell kids about it because it's so sad. But we all have to learn so that we learn how to love kids when they're very, very and as they bigger and bigger and bigger until they get to be your size. Can you come with me now? Come here. I need you. Yeah, let me hold you. Let me hold you. Please. I won't. Can I hold one of you guys? No? 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 Yeah, you grab you, you big. Until you get big enough to love like you are now. Right? Because now, if I wrestled with you or I threw you over my shoulder, it wouldn't hurt you, would it? We could play. So here's what I want you to learn today. Jesus loved you when you were this big, this big, this big, this big, this big, this big, until you're this big, this big, this big, big as your daddy and mommy, or even bigger than your daddy and mommy. Can you remember that for me? That God gives life, and that no matter how big or small you are, you're very, very important. So one day, when you see that, you'll be able to say, I remember, I know that babies start very, very small, and then they grow a little bit bigger, like that. And from this one, they grow a little bigger yet to be that size. See? They just keep growing. And then from that size, they get to be this big. See that? And then finally, they get to be born. And that's when you and I get to see them. Remember when I take you over by the baptismal font and I tuck that little baby under my arm and we pray over them and we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus knows every one of the little ones. He knew you before you were even born. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's what we sang in our one song today. So I want you to remember that. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to put this guy up here. There we go. This one right next to it. And I do have a treat for you guys. So come and grab one. They're all the same. Just reach in and grab one. Just one, honey. This one. There you go. Go ahead. This one. Here you go, hon. There we go. Guys have a tendency sometimes to be a bit simplistic. This guy. God created it. It's a baby. Where's the discussion? felt that way, obviously, about the topic for a long, long, long time, all the time. And sometimes we find ourselves in attitudes or behaviors that don't always help situations. I think the topic of life, abortion, child, is complex as I've lived long enough. Met enough people, been down at enough lifelines. I asked Connie to show that particular video. She had several of them. You do understand, this program takes mothers and shows them on ultrasound what's growing within them. And it is a volunteer organization, about 95%. They do need money for advertising and support and other things, so be encouraged to seriously consider that. But the miracle of it is a mother's life is changed, and her husband who died, her fiancé died. And I go, there's all kinds of emotions. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have showed that in church. I go, life is dirty. Do any of you want to stand up and tell us how clean your life really has been? You want to brag about it, or let's demonstrate it up here? You flawlessly went through grade school and you never ridiculed anyone, and you flawlessly went through high school and all of your decisions were moral and righteous and integrity, and then you flawlessly went into college and then you got married, and then you had this perfect marriage where you never argue. You just do everything she tells you to. Just took you 5 or 10 years to learn that. Does anyone want to stand up? I go, life is messy. It's messy. And people need God in the middle of the mess. And here's the miracle of Christmas and the miracle of the resurrection and the miracle of the incarnation. Into the mess of my life and your life, into the mess of a world that is complicated sometimes and unbelievably bitter and angry and hurting and every emotion under the sun, the grace of God comes in, enters in, and blesses this woman. And because of this particular girl, and you can judge her if you feel like it, other babies have been saved. And I go, you have to understand. That's what Connie was sharing with us, is you got to hear the story. You got to hear the heart. You've got to hear the person behind the middle of the action, behind the situation. You understand, there is this part about life that doesn't just end at high school or grade school, or doesn't just get measured on a particular day. It goes on and on and on and on and on, and then you got to survive kids, and then you got to survive middle age, and then you got to survive older age, and then you got to decide where you're just about dying slowly, and then you still, all of that becomes who you are. It becomes the totality of your life. And you begin to understand that the mercy and the grace and the power of God has to enter into each phase of that. There are things now I would have do that I would have never done then. There are things then that I would have never thought of doing anymore now. I bet that's true for your life too. There are things I thought would be so easy that weren't so easy. There are things that I thought I'd figured out, but I had to refigure them out because I met somebody new or a different situation presented itself. And so into the complexity of the topic of abortion, I want you and I to kind of slow down for a moment and begin to understand some of the issues. The first one I started you with in the text. You are not like anything else in the world. You have been created in the image of God. You aren't a dog. You're not a cat. You're not something that just exists out there. Your dog doesn't sit at home contemplating whether they've been a good or a bad dog. They just want to eat, go outside, and do what dogs do. All right? They're not wondering if they're making you comfortable or uncomfortable. They'll react to your facial expression because dogs react to it. Have you been a bad dog? Oh, yes, I'm so sorry, kill me. All right, they would do that if another bigger dog comes along and says, rawr, 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 and they go, oh, don't worry, kill me. And they're doing what dogs do. You think, you feel, react. you actually contemplate what you've done in your past. You think seriously about how you've been behaving, and it runs through your minds because you have been created in the image of God. You own feelings and life and reactions and conscience and understanding. A lion kills a brand new little baby gazelle. It doesn't say, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have eaten that little gazelle. It eats. You, on the other hand, live with decisions. How you spoke to somebody. Why you did what you did. How you made the decisions you've made. Those are part of what make us into and help us understand that quality called in the image of God. That quality that God has given us with all of the things, not to mention the ability to appreciate beauty. Not to mention the ability to appreciate the gift of life, the uniqueness of each of the people that we meet, and all of the other opportunities it gives us. There is no doubt you're unique. And I've done enough study in biology to know that the question in the biological perspective on this is not very complicated. What they knew in 73 when they passed the insanity of abortion on demand, what they know now is so different, they have no doubt that when that cell and that spur, that egg and that sperm meet, that is a unique human being. It is unlike the mother, unlike the father. And genetically it can be shown and proven and demonstrated. The issue today is not just whether science can prove it's a baby or it's alive or something like that. The science today makes that actually very easy. So you begin to ask, why is this such a complex issue? Why is it people respond to it? Some of us, knowing the Word of God, are faithful to the Word of God. It's not an issue. We know what God said. We understand the implications. God's called me. I understand that I've been unique from the time of my conception. And I recognize that in that conception, I was born a sinner. And we put all that together into that moment. And we don't have a lot of conflict in the area. And so you begin to ask sometimes, why is it other people don't understand? Why is it they are so caught up in some of the issues in terms of all these different things? I was listening to the protests that went on yesterday. You heard about them? Kind of fascinating. I don't like to watch the news. I like to watch the news, but they had about this much on all these protests, you know? And they had about this much on how many tens of thousands of people were marching in Washington, D.C. and other places for life, who the president talked to and encouraged and said, stand for life. And I hate that. But it happens. And I know this is a political issue. And you have to understand, for a lot of people, this is more political than you realize. We have women trying to fight for rights, and whether we like it or not, it's the women who have to carry a child, and it is not easy to carry a child. If you've ever listened, women will talk about the ones or the twos or the fives, whatever how many they've had, and which one drove them crazy and which one they had to get sick over, and all the different things that all come together just bringing a child through to the point of delivery. Not to mention how many times children can sometimes put pressure on you as they grow. And so people sometimes see this as an unbelievable political question. It's significant for them. It will cut into my career. It causes me to not make as much money. It causes me to be treated differently. People get hired differently because I can deal with the possibility of getting pregnant, raising children, and all those emotions. And then it overflows into a political issue, which is mixed in with women's rights and mixed in with child rights, mixed in with human rights, mixed in with religion, and it all kind of swirls together in this pocket of stuff, and you're not sure which one you have to address when you're talking to a particular man or woman. You heard her little unique testimony. I didn't want to raise this child alone. That's not an unusual question that they have to ask. It wasn't so much I didn't want this child, but I didn't want to raise this child alone. That's scary. And here she is now, as she's had, you know, and raising that child. I don't know if she's been married again. The husband, the fiance, died. That's why she started to cry. That's why Dottie went over and gave her that hug, because this was an extremely emotional thing. Her testimony was not done yet. She not only had to live through all the questions related to that, have this precious little girl you saw in the picture, but then she had to deal with the fact that her fiance died and all the emotions and feelings related to that that she's going through and still going through, as you saw that they made the video. And so there are these sides of these topics and issues that sometimes mix into politics. And I go, you have to understand, in American politics, I have the freedom to not be Jewish. I have the freedom to not be Islamic. I have the freedom to not be Christian. And it feels sometimes like it's you Christians telling us that you have to do this. And therefore, for many people, they begin to see this as you're stealing their political and religious freedom from them. You're not having a topic about whether the child is a child. You're having a topic about whether you're going to, and this is what they'll say, impose your religious beliefs on them. And you and I, which have no intention really of imposing our religious beliefs on them, because you're not saying you've got to become a Christian, you've got to become a Lutheran. We're simply saying we are on the side of the child. We are on the side of guarding the life of the child, which seems to be a good American, patriotic, appropriate thing to do, guarding the life of each individual human being in America, even though everybody or some people don't like we've been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so we sometimes feel like we're talking past people. We're missing it. We talk to them, we're saying the right thing, but it doesn't connect. There's a wall that seems to be in place, or it feels like you're talking a different language. Sometimes there are these debates about whether it's human, and I heard the one pastor, he said it this way. Let me see if I can find the right words, because it's really fascinating. He asked the question, is it a live human person? And he said, I want you to notice I called it a live human person. He said, number one, we have to find out if it's alive. Then we have to find out if it's human, and we'll have the debate about when and if it's human. And then, if it's human, is it yet a person, or do you have to wait to a certain point in time when a certain gene or something else kicks in and it becomes a person, an individual unique to itself? And then they want to have discussions and debates about when each one of those different steps take place. So then it becomes easier, you understand, to kill a child when it's this big, which is the size many of the abortions in America take place. Hands, fingers, toes, everything you can imagine, ears, eyes, nose, every part of that child formed, and yet unbelievably small in the hand of a person as big as myself, and yet fully, I would say, live human person. So what do you do when there are people who don't want to debate whether it's alive? They want to have the discussion, is it a person yet? You begin to understand these issues are not small. We can't just arbitrarily just float them out there and make them small when they aren't small. For some people, it's their job. For some people, it's their career. For some people, it's their future. For this woman, I don't want to be alone. For other individuals, I don't have any money. For other individuals, I have the money, but I don't want to give up my freedom. It goes complex things. Now, in my world, I still have no problem understanding God doesn't want us killing children. That part I understand, but we haven't been called just simply to arbitrarily set a standard. We've been called to enter into it with real live people. And when you enter into it with real live people, I always recommend bring your own hall of shame, not fame. I've talked about it before. If you see my hall of fame, I always jokingly tell the kids, mine's so long, I've never gotten to the end of it. And I've gotten my hall of shame, those moving pictures that when you see them like on some of these movies where they look at a picture and all of a sudden the people begin to move, I go, my hall of shame brings back a picture of the very thing I said or did or the lie I told or the manipulation I did or the deception or the... Well, I don't want to go too far because your pastor's always been holy all his life. And if you believe that, you're going to never find a pastor. We're all filled with junk. And if I bring my hall of shame, covered by the blood of Christ, but if I bring my hall of shame, and now I'm about to look at this woman who's pregnant and been engaged, and what will I feel? Oh, I go, holy, just a minute. And I bring all this to the point where I go, wow, Jesus loves you. How can I make a difference in your life? You understand? The issue for us today is not simply, is it right or wrong? It's wrong. Don't kill your children. You know, I love telling that story was shared with you. I think she actually came to church one Sunday. She shared the story. She said, my daughter had moved in with her boyfriend, and she got pregnant. And they asked mom to come with them to the doctor, and she went apparently to Planned Parenthood, and mom didn't know what to say or not to say, and so, yeah, you're pregnant. Yeah, you're about this far along, and go through the whole thing. And the mother was very quiet, being very respectful of the unmarried couple and trying to be a good mom. They got back out, and they were walking. They got in the car, and what do you think? What do you mean, Mom? What do we think? Well, the lady offered you an abortion. They offered you some. Mom, we would never kill this baby. Pastor Harmon would kill us. Two of my students. I go, amen! that child, beautiful young lady, graduated from college, loves Jesus with her whole heart. And I go, amen! That's what we're about. It's about rescuing people from the lies and deceptions and the wickedness of the world and the wretch of our past and the garbage that accumulates around us and the many things that we sometimes want to use as excuses. It's about being honest with such integrity that when I talk to a human being, I see them through my stuff covered by the blood of Jesus going, if God can forgive me this, he can deal with you and turn this situation into a victory. And they'll go, like the one good friend I have, she goes, I've had 4 abortions. God is bigger than 4 abortions. He's bigger than this. He can handle this. No, really. No, really. You begin to understand it changes how you deal with people. Who is she now? Someone that's willing to stand on the line. Has 3 children of her own, multiple grandchildren of her own. Who is she now? You see, her story doesn't end with the wretch and the evil of my sins. It doesn't end with the wretch and sadness and grieving and all the things she was feeling for the first time. She goes, I never, ever, ever thought of it as a baby. They always kept telling me it was nothing. She got to be about 28, 26 when she got married. She had to explain this to her husband. They were coming to me for counseling. And you go, here is the mercy of God met in this person's life who for the first time in her life finds Jesus. You understand, the thief on the cross is not the exception, it's the rule. The rule is that God's come to save sinners. The rule is that we have to see and hear people. The rule is we have to do everything we can possibly do because the lies and deceptions of Satan and the world are out there ripping and tearing and humiliating women to believe things and do things that if they think about it, they go, wait a minute. Right? I don't know if it was on this or Connie said in there, there was a woman who came into her situation and the man said, we'll get engaged. Or did you say it up here? I can't remember if it was, I got my stories mixed up. But you heard her say that and I go, think of that. How deceptive Satan was working in this boyfriend, this so-called caring individual with the ring in hand, throwing all that pressure on her and all she had to do is kill the child. I go, that's how wretched life is for some people. It comes at them and they don't know what to do and they get overwhelmed and some of them succumb to that pressure and some don't. I got plenty of it in my history. I don't want to talk about all of it. Today we'd be here till next week. Just getting me back a couple of years. And I go, what's the truth? The truth, God loves sinners. The truth, God loves women. The truth is they are in every way equal to men. The truth is we got to hear what they're carrying and the pain and the uncertainties. And we got to do it whether we're males or females, whether we're young or old, whether we've had children of our own or we've never had a child of our own. We have to understand because God is not calling us to just point our finger in the nose and poke someone in the chest. He's calling and he's saying, I want to rescue women and give them a brand new start even though they've had four abortions. And he tells them, I will take care of this. You move forward. Remember, I always keep saying, God is always present, future. Where are you now? But God, don't you know what I've done? Yes, I do. Are you being blind? No, I'm not being blind. I am paying for it in full with the blood of my son. You're set free. Present, future. What are you going to do with it now? I look back at some of my junk and I go, Lord, and he goes, why do you go back there? I'll go back there with you, but stop. Present, future, what have you learned? I've learned that God loves women who have four abortions. I've learned there are people in our world that are hurting that don't even know how to put it into words. I learned that sometimes I am totally the wrong person to say it to them. It takes someone with a sonogram. Say, look what you got. But my boyfriend asked me to get married if I have this abortion. It's a baby. You understand? That's the miracle. It's understanding the body of Christ has got the same mission and ministry, but we all put on a little bit different part of what we're going to be about. And that's the nature of what we're asking is continually being open. Whether it's one of the people asked the question, Connie, what got you into this? And she said, I was there in college and I filled in this little form that said, interested, maybe would be a volunteer while still studying for the nursing degree. And I go, who knows how God will get us into some of these situations? Who knows how God will use? I don't care what your worst sin. God says, I bring about everything for good for those who love me, who are called according to my purposes. And it's not an addressing of saying, let's go. You pick your worst sin, understand the blood of Jesus Christ over it, and God whispers to you and says, let's go, kid. We're taking the world on. There's people just like you were, just like you are, who need to hear what I've done for you. And I go, that's the call. That's the ministry. That's the thing we have to understand. God is not inviting us to judge as much as he's inviting us to minister life and healing and truth without compromise. Whether it means I won't vote for this person or I will vote for this person because of the way they stand, I cannot continue to support somebody when they say this doesn't matter. Because if you think of it, try to understand the power of some of these conversations and what it's been doing to people. And so God's called us as a church, as a fellowship of believers, as individuals, you have to put on whatever that unique part of the ministry is that you have to carry. And like Connie pointed out, I don't know anything, but I got this card. And he hands the girl the card. Baby's safe because all he did is hand her the card. Don't you dare leave without a card. I don't know how many she's got, but she'll get you more. Put it in your purse, put it in your wallet. You don't have to say anything. This might help. Connie says, we're here. Do you understand? It isn't necessarily that you have to be the whole answer, but you are a tool in the hand of God, a person that brings about a portion of the solution, and you begin to look back and say, and then God did this, and then from there to here and here, and God opened that door, and whatever the case was, a mother and a child was saved. God's calling us to a level of faithfulness and obedience. Don't think you have to do it all, but just be aware of what part God's calling you to play. Lord, I love you. I love you because my baggage is covered by the blood of Jesus. I love you because I can go back and look at it and know two things. One, it was wrong. But number two, that your blood was more than sufficient to save a miserable sinner like me. And then, Lord, from that, you're able to help me see with the eyes of brokenness, humility, confidence, and great joy the people you want to reach. You've come to save sinners. You've come to bring life. You are the resurrection and the life, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, there is a blessing that you have upon your people, that we get to look back on every part of our circumstance, our life, our inconsistency. We get to deal with it honestly. We get to stop hiding it away. We get to stand in front of you and speak the sin out of sin. And then, Lord Jesus, you come with a mercy and a grace accomplished for us on the cross, and the blood that not only cleanses, also sets us free. And you don't stop. You continue to pour out a spirit that opens our eyes and takes every one of those characteristics and failings, inconsistencies, and turns them into tools to reach out to people you love. Lord Jesus, for your ability to make all things work together for good, thank you. For the mercy of knowing the truth about living and dying and how precious little babies are, thank you. For the opportunity to be faithful to you in this place, at this time, in this country, thank you, Lord. Call us into that with great determination, great joy, and wholehearted obedience. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen. As the